Welcome and welcome, everybody, to the Rob Zicari Show. I am your super special and exciting, I could say that, right? I'm exciting host of the greatest. This is the greatest. I mean, let's be honest. This is the greatest talk radio program going today. It's nothing better. I'm telling you right now, there's nothing better. You might think there's something better. You might imagine there's something better, but there's not something better. Now, aesthetically, there might be something better. Okay, the sheer looks might be something better. Flashy, some green screen stuff, sure. Look-wise, there might be some programs that don't look we're in a, I don't know, garage somewhere in Oregon holding up a wildlife refuge. Okay. Fine. I'll concede to that. So look-wise, could be some better things out there. Although, when I watch Roush Limbu, it's like this side shot. He's just at a desk. He got like a hidden camera type vibe. He's got papers everywhere. So, yeah. He doesn't look like he's in a wildlife refuge in Oregon, but we're not talking about a multi-million dollar set. But let's face it, it's listening, okay? If you're tuned in via our video feed, just take the window, okay? Just take the window and minimize it. Okay, minimize it. That way you could just listen to the sound and you're all good. So just minimize the window and then you won't feel like you're looking at a militia member in a wildlife refuge. All right. And I was told yesterday that it was the second day in a row that our audio quality when it comes to the radio / podcast / tune-in feed was pretty much flawless. That's what I was told. So hopefully today's the third day of flawless audio. Hopefully. Let's cross our fingers. You know, when I woke up this morning and I was taking a shower, every day, two times a day I take showers. Once in the morning, once at night after I get done pumping iron. I, of course, was reflecting on last year and different shows. And I thought to myself, man, we haven't done a weather report or traffic report. We used to do a weather traffic report, try to be a little local, you know, try to be KFI LA 640. We tried to be a little local. But when we were doing it, it was just 90 sunny 90, sunny, 90, sunny. Traffic, heavy, as always. But these last 3 days, we've been having monsoons. Traffic has been dreadful. From Monday, having a shootout on the 5, really having a stretch of the freeway closed all night, which made travel nearly impossible. And there was a shootout. You heard me correct. A shootout. Yes. There was a car chase that resulted in a head-on collision, which in turn the suspect got out of the car, started firing his gun at police officers. They fired back. Eventually, the suspect was taken into custody, but the entire 5 freeway was shut down, and I was stuck in that. So that happened Monday, and then Tuesday, there was an overturned car on the 118 5 exchange. And rain, thunder, lightning, rain, floods, just dreadful. So today I figure I'd give you a weather traffic update. It's still raining really hard, floods, mudslides, cold, and cars are slipping and sliding, crashing everywhere. So there you go. Felt good. It's kind of old school. All right. Let's get into a bunch of stories. A lot of things. I got a whole list. Whole list. Now, there's a new article that we just posted on, of course, our websites. Don't forget, extremepolitics.com, extreme with an X. Extreme with an X. Extremepolitics.com. You can go there. The newest article is about President Barack Hussein Ostam. Yes. And the world's worst foreign policy initiative, maybe in the history, at least in my lifetime. It's a great article. We talk about North Korea and the H-bomb, and I love how our government and state-run media are downplaying North Korea's actions. They're saying, we're pretty sure it wasn't an H-bomb, so everybody relax. We're pretty sure they don't have the technology just yet for an H-bomb. Well, then what did they do? Well, we're still investigating, but we're pretty sure it wasn't an H-bomb. Well, did they detonate something that created almost a 6-point earthquake? Yeah, but it wasn't an H-bomb. Okay. Gotcha. At least we don't think. So the article's posted, talks about North Korea, talks about Saudi Arabia. I haven't really covered the whole Saudi Arabia, Iran situation in a 30-minute segment. I kind of glossed it yesterday. But what we lost, I think, is pretty important. We told Saudi Arabia, our supposed closest ally in that region, besides, of course, Israel, we told Saudi Arabia, don't do nothing to that cleric. Don't do nothing to him. Don't do it. All right? If you value our friendship, if you like the deals that we do, if you like coming over here to Beverly Hills and getting hookers and doing cocaine and driving Ferraris, crashing, causing havoc, and then sneaking back out of the country and returning to Saudi Arabia. If you like that, don't touch that shake. Just don't do it. And Saudi Arabia went, yeah, F you. We're killing them. F you. F you. F you. And they killed them. So we touch on the fact that Saudi Arabia doesn't give a crap about what we say or what we do or what we want. And then, of course, Iran, they test missiles and they give tours of missiles. Yeah. And I'm talking about as of, I don't know, a week ago. They're giving tours like it's a museum. Look at our missile silos. Look. Look what we're developing. We're like, what? And, of course, Kerry goes, well, you know, that wasn't part of the nuclear deal. So they can have that type of stuff. They're firing missiles at our aircraft carriers. We're like, oh, that's very provocative. What's going on? So we touch on those things. Okay, we touch on those things. President Obama, Hussein Obama, and his great foreign policy accomplishments. And don't forget who's part of that circle.
Hillary Rodham Clinton. Yes, Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Remember, she was the first 4 years. She was the first 4 years. And of course, John Kerry is the second. I'm not real sure who's worse, if it's Clinton or Kerry. But we got to have imagined that Kerry would have been pretty bad considering he is a loser. Let's face it. He couldn't beat George Bush in that second term. When everything was going to hell for W, when everything was starting to turn. American people are like, well, what are we doing in Iraq? What's going on? And the casualties of our soldiers just kept clicking and clicking. Every day we'd hear 20 soldiers dead. And Kerry couldn't win. So right there told you the guy's a loser, okay? The guy goes wind sailing. He's a loser. Loser. So go to our website, damn it. ExtremePolitics.com. Go there. Go to my Twitter. All right. Go to my Twitter at Rob Zicari. And you'll see I have a new follower. A new follower. And I tweeted yesterday after I got this follower that I officially made a splash in the Twitter world. And if you look at my Twitter feed and my followers and so forth and so on, you'll see that I just started to really take tweeting seriously. And I listen, I'm not that late to the program considering Bill O'Reilly just started also. Okay? So I'm late, but other people have been late with me. Other people finished ninth in this race. But I got a follower yesterday who's pretty famous, legendary. He goes by the name of James Woods. Yes, the great James Woods, the star of hit movies like Any Given Sunday, Nixon, Casino, Dirty Pictures, and of course, the cult classic Videodrome. So, Mr. James Woods follows the Rob Zicari Show, so that's cool. So you go there, read the articles, especially the new one today about Barack Hussein Obama. Promise you will enjoy it. And we've got a whole bunch of other articles. Liberal, retarded hypocrisy. Yes, I use the word retard. I'm not bashful about it. Okay? I'm not bashful. All right? I've never apologized for using the word retard. I use it a lot. I enjoy using the word retard. So we have an article on there, Liberal Retarded Hypocrisy. A lot of good stuff, so check it out. That's at Rob Zicari, therobzicarishow.com, Extreme Politics, and of course, zerofilter.com. That's all done. That's all out of the way. Let's move on. So, DT, and I love when he does stuff like this. Now, of course, there's the Cruz birther issue, which I love, and we'll discuss that in a few. In a few. But I want to first discuss, real quick, the new DT ad. If you go to DT's Instagram, all right, if you go to DT's Instagram, he has this new ad out, and it hits Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Anthony Weiner, sprinkled in with a little Bill Cosby, if you will. And it's genius. It really is. Of course, the liberals are losing their minds. State-run media is losing their mind. But they're also playing in to the Trump strategy. Think about this. Trump spent $2 million to run ads in Iowa and New Hampshire. And people go, well, is he running these ads because he's losing in the polls? No, he's running these ads to grease the wheels in Iowa and New Hampshire. Remember, that money goes to the local television stations, which goes to the program directors, goes to the county executives. All these people vote. All these people have friends that vote. All these people are part of organizations that vote. And it goes a long way when somebody gives you $2 million, all right? All right? Remember, Donald Trump has always been friends with Democrats. He's always been friends with Republicans. He's given money to both sides throughout the history of his business dealings. Why? Because that's how you get things. Okay? That's how you get favors. Money makes the world go round. So he spent millions of dollars on TV ads to air locally in New Hampshire and Iowa. And of course, state-run media, just like he knew they would, ran his ads on every single one of their programs. And then when the ad got done, they had a panel to discuss his ad. So CNN did it. MSNBC did it. Wolf Blitzer's show did it. Chris Matthews' show did it. Rachel Maddow's show did it. Lawrence O'Donnell's show did it. Chris Hayes' show did it. The Nightly News did it. On NBC, ABC, CBS. Everybody did it. So the $2 million local ad buy turns into a $35 million national ad buy. It's genius. It's effing genius. You know, everybody on the left and some people on the right put Donald Trump down. Reality star show, the host, he's Carla Fiorina, he's like the Kardashians. Listen. Think about what this guy has done in this political climate, this election cycle. Think about what he's done, the strategy. Think about how he planned. Think about where he is now versus Jeb Bush, versus Carl Fiorina, versus Ben Carson, versus John Kasich, versus Rick Perry. Who? Yeah, Rick Perry. He's not even in the race anymore. George Pataki, Lindsey Graham. Has to be worth something. Can't be just a dum-dum. Can't be just, oh, this idiot. He's just a reality show star. That's all. It's a cult of personality. That's it. Okay. Well, this cult of personality has outsmarted supposed geniuses in the political world. He's outsmarted people that have been doing this for 20, 30, 40 years. These people aren't too smart since they're getting their asses kicked by a reality television star. So today's ad is an Instagram ad. That's all. An Instagram ad, which has already been shown on state-run media. CNN and their morning shows have already shown it, and MSNBC's morning shows have already shown it. We haven't gotten to the night shows. We haven't gotten to night programming. So an Instagram ad, that costs nothing, absolutely nothing, is now being treated as a TV spot. It's genius. It really is. It's genius. It's absolutely genius. And the ad is awesome. Let me see if I can play this for you. I have to play it into the microphone. And I think everybody will be able to hear it. I'm doing it so ghetto. But hey, come on now. All right, here we go. Let's see if I get it. I have to go to my Instagram like a putz. All right, here we go. Here it is. All right, so here it goes. You ready? Listen.
Women's rights are human rights, and human rights are women's rights. Once and for all, let's keep fighting for opportunity and dignity.
All right, so that's the audio of the Instagram ad. So it's over the Hillary Clinton speech she made many, 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 many years ago, speaking, I think, at a foreign lecture or something like that. I think. I'm not sure. If I recall, I thought it was overseas. But it starts with her voice. It shows Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. Then it shows Bill Clinton saying with the New York Post saying liar. Then it shows a picture of Anthony Weiner standing in the background of Hillary talking. And then it goes to a New York Post article that says Weiner's rise and fall. Then it ends with a picture of Hillary Clinton standing next to Bill Cosby. And then a caption comes up that says, true defender of women's rights. And then it ends with Trump, make America great again. It's a genius ad. It is. It's a genius ad. And it's everything that I said was going to happen to the Clintons, to the liberals, to the Democrats. And it's exactly why they don't want to run against Donald Trump. It's exactly why I said it's all smoke and mirrors when you hear Debbie Wasserman Schultz or Lanny Davis or even Howard Dean go, oh man, we love to run against Trump. Yeah, we love to BS. They don't want to run against Trump. You're seeing what they're going to get if they run against Trump. And of course, liberals, state-run media, are crying because babies they are. Babies, crybabies, bully babies. That's what they are. So this is what we're going to get now? We're going to litigate the 90s? Is that what we're going to get? These accusations, these things from the 90s. The 90s? First off, Anthony Weiner is not from the 90s. Anthony Weiner is 2 years ago. Anthony Weiner's wife is Huma Abedin, a woman, for all intents and purposes, will probably be the chief of staff if Hillary Clinton becomes president. Huma Abedin, a Muslim, who some say, okay, rather it's rumor, rather it's innuendo, rather it's false, regardless. It's out there that family members of Huma Abedin have ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. It's not something new. This isn't a birther issue. This isn't Obama born in Kenya. This is connecting dots, a family tree that goes back to Pakistan, and different family members being part of different organizations, different mosques, different things that have ties to different individuals, that have ties to other individuals that are associated with the Muslim Brotherhood. It is what it is. No different in America when an organized crime figure goes to prison or is tied to somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that has a family member that knows a cousin of a stepbrother's aunt's distant uncle who was a soldier, the Gambino family. And in turn, somehow, it all goes back to that person who says, I had no idea. And everybody goes, yeah, sure. Okay. A Biden, all right? Huma Abedin is Hillary Clinton's closest and most trusted staff member. I mean, best friend. They are Ted. Okay, you saw the movie Ted, right? Ted with Mark Wahlberg, the talking bear, best friends for life, right? They are best friends for life. So Anthony Weiner is her husband, Anthony Weiner, the guy that was taking pictures of his penis and sending them to women, basically stalking and harassing women via computer, via cell phone with his penis. These women didn't say, oh, will you send me pictures of your penis? Please, please. I want pictures of your penis. Send me pictures of your penis. These women weren't doing that. No. He just did it. It's like going to your neighbor's door, knocking on it. They open it and you go, hey, what do you think? You got your penis in your hand. Your neighbor wouldn't like that. I sure the hell wouldn't like that. That's Anthony Weiner. He got caught. Big scandal. Disgraced him. His office, and Huma Abedin was standing next to him while Anthony Weiner was telling the world what a lowlife piece of garbage he was. And then guess what? 6 months later, he got caught again! Again! So, liberals talking about the 90s, are we going to litigate the 90s? What are you talking about? Anthony Weiner is now. Anthony Weiner is somebody the millennials know. Now, it's been very, very hush-hush that that is Hillary Clinton's closest advisor's husband. That's hush-hush. They even try to keep Huma Abedin hush hush. They try to keep that situation hush hush. But that's something millennials will know because they definitely know who Anthony Weiner is. They definitely know who he is. And I bring up millennials because the debate was millennials knowing and or caring about Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. Because they weren't around during that time. They weren't around for Jennifer Flowers. They weren't around for Paula Jones. They weren't around for Juanita Broderick. They weren't around for Catherine Willey. They weren't around for all of Bill Clinton's antics. In turn, it will just kind of go over their heads. And the way state-run media talks about Lewinsky and Clinton, a millennial is just going to get from this corrupt, vile news that we have today, that Monica Lewinsky was a worker at, Pizza Hut, delivered a pizza, and Bill Clinton and her fell in love by just the mere sight of each other. So, Huma Abedin and Anthony Weiner is now. So when Hillary Clinton is talking about standing up for women's rights and, equal pay and just everything that is supposed to empower women and make women strong and make them her closest and most trusted employee, Huma Abedin, has a vile, disgusting, perverted, sexual harassing husband, kind of hypocritical. It's kind of hypocritical. It's kind of hypocritical. And when liberals talk about we're going to relitigate the 90s, well, listen here, libs. It's 2015. Okay? What was accepted in the 90s is not accepted in 2015. That's why there is specials. That's why TV is dedicated. At least, I don't know, one or two shows a week to Bill Cosby. And women coming forth and saying 30 years ago, Bill Cosby forced them to perform fellatio on him and made a mess of their face. And I'm quoting that from a speech that was given, I don't know, 2 months ago. And these women say they never came forward because they were ashamed. And they felt nobody would believe them. Some of them felt it was their fault because they had gone to Bill Cosby's room. And all of those things that those women have said and felt back in the 80s and 90s would disqualify sex harassment, rape, things of that nature. But in 2015, 2016, feminists of today, the women that are running around making everybody PC, the women that are running around soldiers need to be women. Women run around today are perfectly and accepting of women coming forward and talking about rape or talking about sexual abuse or things of that nature that happened to them 30 years ago and litigating what happened today. So the liberals who go, this was all talked about in the 90s. People are fine with it. The president even beat impeachment. Congress exonerated him. Sure, he got a little asterisk next to his name, but ultimately he was exonerated. Well, they seem to forget that Democrats did have the Senate then, but it's another, it's another conversation we can have in a different day. What was acceptable back in the 80s and 90s, like the boss having sex with interns or women in positions where they feel like they have no choice, is not acceptable in 2016. Just like the Confederate flag was acceptable 20, 30 years ago, and in some areas of our country today, it's acceptable. You see 2016, that Confederate flag coming down. You see colleges and students demanding library names being changed. Because Woodrow Wilson, not a friend of black man. So here we are relitigating our own history. Here we are relitigating the Confederate flag and what the Civil War was about. So guess what, libs? Yeah. Having a woman run for president and have as her surrogate a man who abused women is definitely something that is up for discussion. Yeah. Huma Abedin and Anthony Weiner are definitely up for discussion. Yeah, libs. When you go, but Cosby, why is he in the ad? Well, what Bill Cosby did is exactly what Bill Clinton did. What Bill Cosby is basically being destroyed. What Bill Cosby did, and now the media, business, the public are destroying him, is exactly what Bill Clinton did. Exactly what Bill Clinton did. The only thing that is different is the roofies. But if you want to substitute the power of being governor and president of the United States for the roofie, I think that would be perfectly acceptable. Power is a drug. And when somebody has that much power, and you're part of that circle, just trying to survive, and that person pulls out their penis, says, give it a little kiss, just a little kiss, what are you going to do? Huh? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Oh, the Clintons. Oh, God, this is their worst nightmare. And for the Republicans who are trying to beat Donald Trump, it is their worst nightmare. Why? Because Republicans despise the Clintons. The Republican electorate despise the Clintons. And when someone goes after the Clintons, it's here. And when someone goes after the Clintons in a soft, gentle way, they get angry and they say, why aren't they saying this? Why aren't they saying that? Well, here comes Donald Trump, and he's saying to all the Republicans, you want to watch how you handle the Clintons? Want to watch how you shut Bill Clinton down? The guy that the liberals say is their rock star. Liberals say that he's the reason that Obama won in 2012. He saved Obama. Well, you haven't heard much from the Clinton camp. They actually have a new policy, a New Year's resolution, that they will not talk about Donald Trump. You saw Bill Clinton recently, right? He looked weak. He looked shell-shocked. He looked like somebody that is terrified that as the rallies go on, he's going to get questions about his past. He's going to get people heckling him about his past. Because when Democrats applaud protesters and Black Lives Matters thugs disrupting Trump rallies, these hippy-dippy Burning Man degenerates that like to follow Bernie Sanders standing up at a Trump rally calling him a racist, and the Democrats applaud. Bill Clinton knows that that is giving strength to Republicans to do the same thing. So if you're a Republican, if you're somebody that despises the liberals, but just don't have that oomph to stand up at a rally and scream and yell at Bill Clinton or Hillary Clinton, and you see all these liberals doing it at Trump rallies and liberals clapping and smiling and the Chris Hayes and Joy Reid's and Lawrence O'Donnell's at Al's laughing, going, yay, yay. Well, guess what? Bill Clinton's been around long enough to know that Republicans are going to start doing it to him. And they already started with Hillary. They already started with Wanda Broderick, and Hillary Clinton refusing to talk to the woman, refusing to address the issue, and instead calling the woman rude. Clinton looks terrified. Bill Clinton looks like he doesn't want to have to do this for the next 7 months. He looked tired. He looked low energy. He looked like somebody that got away with something. And he knows he got away with some, and he knows he continues to get away with stuff. He still fraternizes with hookers. That's a fact. There's Instagram pictures all over the web. I know the hookers that he used to fraternize with. Seven, eight, 9 months of this. He don't want it. This is just the start. The libs don't want it. They know deep down inside that Donald Trump can beat Hillary Clinton. And the traditional electoral map gets completely flipped around if Donald Trump is the nominee. End of story. Check out the Instagram ad. Go to Donald Trump's Instagram page, or just click on CNN, MSNBC, Fox, and they will be running the ads all day. Trust me. They will be running the ads all day. All right, listen. It's the Rob Scarry Show. When we come back, okay? When we come back, Ted Cruz. And I love this. You know why? Because now you got John McCain and Rand Paul agreeing with Donald Trump that Ted Cruz and his Canadian birth could be a problem. Come back. It's a Rob Zicari Show. And listen right now to Don Lemon freak out. Literally freak out. Freak out.
Let's talk about this now with conservative commentator and columnist Kurt Schlichter and Donald Trump supporter Tara Grant. All right, Tara, you know,
hi guys.
Why did he have to go there?
Well, that's a good question. I'm still confused as to A, why it was brought up, why it was discussed at a rally, but I'm even more confused as to why we're still talking about it. It's definitely gone to the toilet as far as there are so many other things that we can be discussing about Hillary Clinton, her politics, her ideologies, and we're discussing her going to the potty. I mean,
well, I understand what you're saying, but I think we're discussing the comment and whether it's appropriate for someone who is running for as a leader of the free world to make comments about a woman going to the restroom, or whether someone was, as he says, schlonged or not. Mr. Schlichter, what do you think of that, Kurt?
Don, it's going to take a lot more for me to get upset at a woman who enabled a guy who turned the Oval Office into a frat house and his intern into a humidor. You know, I just don't care. I so don't care.
Absolutely.
I would need Stephen Hawking to find the theoretical limit of how little I care about Donald Trump's silly jokes.
Absolutely, Kurt.
This hypocritical, pearl-clutching nonsense that Donald Trump's vulgar and mean and out there, and I can't stand Donald Trump. I'm the guy who comes on. And this is why I hate the media, Don, because you make me defend Donald Trump.
And yet you're here with us.
Good job, Kurt.
You hate us enough that you appear every time we ask you.
Honey mouth.
Kurt, listen. So even though you say you hate Donald Trump, right? Is that am I putting words in your mouth?
Donald Trump.
You don't like him.
A very nice guy who I don't think should be president.
Okay. Have you ever heard a presidential candidate say things like this?
No, but I know of a president who, turned his intern into a humidor. So I think we set the standard a little lower than Donald Trump has even approached.
Well, he's not president of the United States.
How long was it? Oh, it was 2:30. I was gone for 2 minutes and 33 seconds. Jesus. All right. So, yesterday we talked about Ted Cruz a little. Okay. We talked about Teddy Cruz. And I guess, I don't know why, but I guess some of the segment got cut off. We went over our allotted time. I'm going to do the Cruz bit again. But relax. Those of you who watched the video and listened to at least 25 minutes of the bit, we have new information, okay? We have new and interesting things to add to this conversation. So, on conservative radio, and I listened to Rush, not faithfully, but I listen to Rush. I mean, I got to listen to ultimately my competition, Rush, Hannity, Savage, lesser extent, Alex Jones, Beck, and of course, Mark Levin. They're my competition. Ultimately, they have what I want. They have a national platform on hundreds and hundreds of radio stations, and they make millions and millions and millions of dollars. I want that. Okay? I want that. So they're my competition. So I listened to all of them. Listen to, you know, this segment, listen to that segment. Try to hear what they're most angry about. And yesterday, Mark Levin was going nuts. And it's obvious that he's a Ted Cruz groupie. It's obvious. Mark Levin is a Ted Cruz groupie. Because Mark Levin's all about the Constitution. That his entire program is about Constitution. We need strict constitutional conservatives. What is the Constitution? The Constitution, which is cool. Hey, Constitution's important. You got to live by the Constitution. But that's how he distinguishes what a true conservative is and what a good Republican presidential candidate will be. Someone who follows the Constitution and doesn't waver. Strict constitutionalist. So he doesn't like Trump, okay? So he was very upset yesterday. Very upset yesterday, okay? Like, really upset that the Cruz birther situation came up. Very upset. And what made him upset the most is that it's a liberal attack. It's a liberal position. And liberals are using this to distract everybody away from Obama's gun grab. And he's upset that Donald Trump, and he's careful not to use Trump's name, but he's upset that Trump would use liberal talking points. And the birther situation with Ted Cruz is a liberal talking point. And I just sat there and I scratched my head. And I thought back to when I was seduced by the liberal dark side. Of you who are new to the show, I used to be a liberal. We've talked about it many, many times, but I used to be a liberal. I was brought into this world by liberal parents. I've always had liberal friends. I continue to have some liberal friends. Matter of fact, all my friends are liberals, bleeding heart liberals. I will argue with them for hours. Hours will argue. So the liberal brain that I used to have remembers birtherism when it pertained to Obama. It wasn't a liberal issue. It was something the Republicans came up with. It was an attack by the Republicans. And it was an attack that wasn't by the fringe. It wasn't some Alex Jones fringe. Whenever they would ask John Boehner, Mitch McConnell, do you feel the president is a Muslim? Do you feel the president was born here in the United States? What do you... it was always an ambiguous answer. As far as I know, that was always the answer. As far as I know. So the whole birther movement was a Republican concept. It was something Republicans hatched. And like I said yesterday, the debate was never, ever, that Obama was born to a tribal family with bone and plates in their faces. The concept was always Obama's mom, who is American, and there was no debate about that, had Obama in Kenya. He was then brought as a baby to Hawaii and passed off as being born at a residence like home delivery or what have you, and in turn getting the birth certificate from a hospital in Hawaii. And this was done not because one day he'll be the president of the United States, but just so he would be an American. Because basically, unless you're in the military, or unless you're born in those zones where we occupy and have a military base like the Canal Zone, you being born on foreign soil doesn't make you an American citizen. Plain and simple. So the questions about Obama were always, well, his mom lived in Kenya, married a Kenyan, got impregnated by a Kenyan, had a baby in Kenya, and then brought him back to the United States. And that's why Obama was not qualified to be president of the United States. He's an illegitimate president. That was the talking point. And on the surface, seems plausible. I mean, when you get into the whole Manchurian candidate and that type of vibe, I start to go, you might be a little kooky. But it definitely was plausible that Obama was born in Kenya, brought to the United States, and they were like, oh, yeah, we just had him. Oh, well, okay, sure, yeah. I mean, you're not talking about 2015 with screenings at the airport. I mean, you're talking about a time where you could smoke on an airplane. Talking about traveling to the United States being pretty loose. So that was the Obama situation. And the right was hell-bent on that concept being true and telling everyone that's why Obama can't be the president. Like I said, all the other stuff, now you get into the weeds, you know. Now you get into the weeds of mild kookiness. But being born in another country and coming then to this country and being passed off as an American is completely, completely plausible. So here we are, many years later, and you have Ted Cruz. Okay? Ted Cruz, a guy who was born in Canada. Not to a military family, not on a military base, but a woman who moved to Canada to live. It wasn't a vacation. It wasn't, oh, I'm going to visit Niagara Falls. I'm going to see a Toronto Blue Jay game. I'm pregnant. Oh, my God. My water broke. Oh, my God. I'm going to have my baby in a Canadian hospital. Oh, my God. Is he Canadian? No, because you're heading out as soon as you're able to walk. Yeah, cool. It wasn't the situation. You know how people debate anchor babies? You know how we here in the United States, at least us on the right, debate a woman from Guatemala being pregnant and running over the border to have a baby a few months later? So that baby is automatically a U.S. citizen. And there's actually people, not in the fringe, but actual scholars that have debated if that should be legitimate as far as that baby being a U.S. citizen, and that our framers, when talking about qualifying to be a citizen and what it entails, didn't create the provisions in the Constitution for that. Well, you have to apply that to the concept when you're talking about Cruz and being born in Canada. The mom was not on vacation. The mom was not part of the military. For all intents and purposes, Ted Cruz's mom gave up on American life and moved to Canada to create a better life. There is absolutely no military involved. There is absolutely no vacation involved. It was solely to create a better life. That's it. That is it. Absolutely it. So Ted Cruz's mom lived in Canada. She met a guy who fled from Cuba. They had a baby named Rafael Cruz. That baby lived in Canada, not for a weekend, not for a week, not for a month, but for 5 years. Again, we're not talking about a military installation. We're not talking about a vacation. We're talking about a woman who moves to Canada to make a better life. A woman who moves to Canada and assimilates in the Canadian life. She has a baby to raise that baby Canadian. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. When you hear Mark Levin talk about John McCain, or Romney's dad, the examples they're bringing up are military people. They're not civilians. They're not civilians that have moved to another country to start a new life. And when Mark Levin says, oh, this is just some liberal tactic. This is just some kooky, nutty tactic used by the liberal media to distract the people. Distract what people? This has nothing to do with Obama. This isn't distracting people away from Obama. It's distracting people away from Ted Cruz, your boy. Because you're a sicko fan. That's what you are. Has nothing to do with Obama. This is not liberal media distracting from Obama's gun grab. This is distracting and pulling people away from Ted Cruz, who were very upset about Obama possibly being born in Kenya. And people saying, this is a little messed up. It's taking those people who don't have to go, maybe Ted Cruz is born in Canada. He was born in Canada. And it's taking those people and bringing them to Trump. And that's what you don't like, Mark Levin. That's what you don't like. And now, it's not just the Washington Post, or as Mark Levin would call them, Washington Compost. It's not just them stirring some stuff up and being kooky. You now have John McCain and you have Rand Paul also saying, hey, the Ted Cruz thing is a little funky. Now, of course, people are going to say, well, John McCain doesn't like Ted Cruz. He called Cruz a wacko bird. Well, okay. What's your point? What's your point? Still doesn't diminish the fact that John McCain was on a radio program yesterday and said, it's worth looking into. Okay? When asked about Ted Cruz's eligibility to be president, McCain said, it's worth looking into. Asked McCain, how can Cruz run for president if he was born in Canada? McCain said, I do not know the answer to that. McCain said, the difference between him and me is that I was born in the Panama Canal Zone, which was a territory and a U.S. military base. And there was precedent set when Barry Goldwater was born in Arizona, which was a territory. That's different than being born on foreign soil. I think there is a question. Now, I'm not a constitutional scholar on this, but I think it's worth looking into. I don't think it's an illegitimate argument. I think it's worth looking into. Rand Paul was asked about Ted Cruz's eligibility, and he said he knows one thing is for sure, and that is Ted Cruz is eligible to be Prime Minister of Canada. So, John McCain, regardless if he likes Ted Cruz or not, has said, hey, on this birther issue, Donald Trump isn't a cuckoo bird. Rand Paul, remember, Rand Paul despises Donald Trump. Rand Paul was one of the first ones to go after Donald Trump. And for Rand Paul to say, Donald Trump does have a point. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's obvious that Ted Cruz knew this was going to be a situation. It's obvious Ted Cruz knew this was going to come up. Why? Because for many, 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 many years, Ted Cruz held a dual citizenship, Canadian and American. That is a fact. Many, 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 many years he held dual citizenship. And in August of 2013, he applied to formally renounce his Canadian citizenship. And as of May 14th, 2014, he ceased being a citizen of Canada. So it's obvious that Ted Cruz knew this would be a situation. Just like it's obvious John McCain knew that these questions could come up involving him. That's why he had the Senate draft a resolution declared John McCain eligible to run for President of the United States. Even if a precedent had been set, even if the precedent had already been set with Goldwater, they didn't want to take any chances. So the Senate drafted a resolution that declared McCain was a naturalized citizen. End of story. So this isn't a tin hat cuckoo bird issue. This is legitimate. The question is never, ever, ever been debated in the courts as far as what classifies, what is it that classifies the term naturalized citizen? What is it? We know what the Constitution says, but what is it? And the clause that Cruz supporters and Mark Levin quote does not apply to somebody that decides to move to another country, live a life, assimilate, have a family, and still say they're Americans. No. And let me read you what I'm talking about. When one parent was a U.S. citizen and the other a foreign national, the U.S. citizen parent must have resident in the U.S. for a total of 10 years prior to the birth of the child, with 5 of the years after the age of 14. Okay? An exception for people serving in the military was created by considering time spent outside the U.S. on military duty as time spent in the U.S. This clause, when talking about citizenship and so forth and so on, was people like John McCain. Was for military families. It's kind of like the reverse on the liberal gun argument. When us conservatives say the Constitution says right to bear arms. Our founding fathers talked about this, form a militia, bear arms. And liberals go, yeah, but that was hundreds of years ago. This is 2015. Our framers never envisioned assault weapons, Uzis. They never envisioned not having to war with England and people coming into your house and trying to take your furs. Whatever. And it's the same concept here. When rules were written and they changed things in referencing natural-born citizen and having to be birthed by a resident for 10 years prior and so forth and so on, it was all done because of the military. It was done because the military generals and colonels and so forth and so on said, hey, if we're stationed over in Germany or stationed in Japan or we're stationed wherever and we meet a chick and she gets pregnant, or me and my wife move to Germany, regardless, kind of effed up. So they went and said, okay, well, here's some, you know, rules that will cover you guys. Don't worry about it. None of this was intended for some woman in Delaware to go, you know what? I'm just not happy in America. I want to move to Canada. I want to start my life over. Yeah. I want to start my life over. That's what I'm going to do. I hear it's beautiful in Canada. I hear the people are nice. I hear a lot of good things about Canada. Okay, I'm going to go to Canada. And she goes to Canada, meets a Cuban, a guy who's not even Canadian. He fled Cuba. They fall in love. They have a child, and they raise that child. There was never an intent to go tour Canada. The intent was to live. That's why Ted Cruz had dual citizenship. He was a citizen of Canada because he was born there. Not on a fluke, not on a whim. Terrence or his mom moved to Canada to create a life for herself. He wasn't part of the military. She wasn't part of the military. So, Mark Levin, you're wrong. I know you're way more educated than me. I know you read books a day. You're a constitutional scholar. You worked in the Reagan administration. I know you're a genius. But you're wrong here, my friend, because you're in the tank for Rafael Cruz. You're in the tank for Rafael Cruz. You have a constitutional bromance with Rafael Cruz. That's fine, my friend. That's fine. Okay? That's fine. And all the other things Trump said is accurate and correct. When he said there are Democrats that have said that they will file lawsuits challenging Ted Cruz's eligibility if he becomes a nominee. That's true. Now, you can laugh all you want at who it's coming from. I watched a couple conservatives on Fox laugh because it's Alan Grayson. Yeah, Alan Grayson's kooky. He is a leftist. But he's kooky enough and leftist enough to file the lawsuit. Yeah. If you don't think Alan Grayson will file a lawsuit if Ted Cruz becomes a nominee, you're out of your mind. Filed a lawsuit in Vermont. Again, that's true. What Trump said was true. It's not Trump being Mr. Kooky Birther. This is all true. Alan Grayson has already said, I will file a lawsuit challenging Ted Cruz's eligibility if he becomes the Republican nominee. That's a fact. Mock Alan Grayson all you want. I mock him on a regular basis. But the fact is, he's going to challenge Ted Cruz's eligibility if he becomes a nominee. Already challenging Ted Cruz's eligibility in Vermont. These are facts. Facts. Undisputable facts. So I'm sorry, Mark Levin. I'm sorry they're piling up on your boy, Rafael Cruz. But the fact of the matter is, the guy was born in Canada. The guy was raised Canadian. The guy had dual citizenship. I mean, for Pete's sake, the father, legal. Ted Cruz's father was never a citizen until 2 or 3 years ago. Ted Cruz's father was not a citizen until a few years ago. And he's a guy.
By the Republican presidential frontrunner right now, Donald Trump. Mr. Trump, welcome back to Meet the Press.
Good morning.
Let me ask you about these claims this way. You demand, and you've demanded of me, pinpoint accuracy when we report on things about you, including, for instance, your net worth. Why shouldn't we demand the same pinpoint accuracy in the claims that you make? Is it any hypocritical of you calling us out if we're not calling you out when you stray from the truth?
Well, now people have got my net worth right, and they're saying what my real net worth is for a long time. You know, as a private company, they weren't doing that, but now they're doing it largely, I guess, due to the big filing that I made with the federal government, with the FEC. As far as all of these claims, I believe that it's the Obama's intention. They said 10,000 people, Syrians. We don't want them because we don't know who they are, and I love the idea of building a safe zone someplace in Syria, but they said 10,000, and yet the Democratic debate, they said 65,000 to the best of my recollection. Hillary said it, and so did Bernie Sanders. You're saying Bernie Sanders is so honest. I doubt that very much. But Bernie Sanders said it, and Hillary said it. I think they were talking in the Democrat debate. I think they were talking about 65,000. I have it upon a certain amount of knowledge. I'm very friendly with a lot of people on both sides that Obama's plan is 200 to 250,000. So he said 10. The debate said 65 already before we even start. And I think what he really has in mind is 200,000 people and maybe even more than that coming into our country. And we can't have it. We don't know who these people are. They're undocumented totally. And by the way, even if it's 10,000, we can't have it. We can't have people coming in that we know nothing about. There is no paperwork, and for good reason, but there's no paperwork. And this is going to be, or has the potential to be, one big fat Trojan horse. And we cannot have that, Chuck.
All right. Well, let's go back to let's back up here a minute. Let's go to this Jersey City comment. You said you saw this. Nobody can find evidence of this. And more importantly, the article that you tweeted out.
We're here today because we want to make sure you understand that this is now a federal terrorism investigation led by the FBI. And the reason for that is that the investigation so far has developed indications of radicalization by the killers and of a potential inspiration by foreign terrorist organizations. And we are spending a tremendous amount of time, as you might imagine, over the last 48 hours trying to understand the motives of these killers and trying to understand every detail of their lives. We are going through a very large volume of electronic evidence. This is electronic evidence that these killers tried to destroy and tried to conceal from us, that we now have and are exploiting to try and understand them. Our investigation to date, and again, it's only 2 days old, so far we have no indication that these killers are part of an organized larger group or form part of a cell. There's no indication that they are part of a network. Again, I quickly add, it is early. We're still working very hard to understand, but I want you to know that so far, we don't see such indications. We know that this is very unsettling for the people of the United States. What we hope you will do is not let fear become disabling, but to instead try to channel it into an awareness of your surroundings to get you to a place where you are living your life. But if you see something that doesn't make sense, you say something to somebody. When we look back over our cases over the last 10, 15 years, in almost every case, we find that somebody saw something, whether it was a family member or a friend or a coworker, and didn't say something to law enforcement, wrote an innocent narrative over some facts that were making them feel uncomfortable or making the hair stand up on the back of their necks. Please don't do that. We have worked very, very hard since 9/11 to get ourselves to a place where if you tell a police officer or a deputy sheriff or call the FBI and say, you know, I saw something next door that seems off, or I saw something online that seems off, it will get to the right people, and we will investigate it quickly and responsibly. We investigate in secret so that we don't smear innocent people. We don't run over and bang on your neighbor's door if you say something. We investigate. If there was nothing there, no harm done. If there was something there, great harm may be avoided. So we would ask you, please channel that sense of fear into something healthy, just an awareness of your surroundings, and let us do the work that you pay us to do, which is to investigate and fight terrorism while you live the lives that are so wonderful in this great country of ours.